great. And Anne, thank you. That hymn is one of my favorites. I love it. Last week, we looked at the prophet Jeremiah's call and his worry that he was too young to speak for God. Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke's version of Jesus calling his disciples in the midst of their work as fishermen. So listen for God's word to you from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little away from the shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they'd brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. In much of the United States, February 4th is Rosa Parks Day in honor of her birthday. We remember Rosa Parks as the black woman who refused to give up her seat on a city bus in Montgomery, Alabama in 1955. At that time, the city buses were segregated. The seats in the front reserved for white passengers and the seats in the back for black passengers. If at any time the white section filled up, the bus driver could require black passengers to give up their seats, even though their tickets cost the same. The black passengers were not allowed to sit in the same row as white people, not even across the aisle from them. And if there were no remaining seats in the colored section, as it was called back then, they would have to stand. One evening, around 6 p.m., a white bus driver demanded that Rosa Parks give up her seat for a white passenger. She moved to the window seat to make room, but she refused to stand and to give up her seat altogether. So the bus driver called the police, and she was arrested for violating Montgomery's city code, and she was later tried for disorderly conduct. What the bus driver and the police did not know about Rosa Parks, this quiet, middle-aged woman, was that she was the secretary for the local chapter of the NAACP. And her arrest triggered the Montgomery bus boycott, which was the first civil rights protest in which the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. participated. Now, I know this story. I've heard it many times, but this time I heard it differently. What struck me anew was its very ordinariness. Rosa Parks got on the bus as she did every workday. She took the bus as she traveled to and from her job as a seamstress in a department store. There was nothing special about this bus ride, not at first anyway. Presumably, she had been asked to give up her seat before, so what made this bus ride any different than any other? In a 1992 interview on National Public Radio, this is how she described what happened. I did not want to be mistreated. I did not want to be deprived of a seat that I had paid for. It was just time. There was opportunity for me to take a stand, to express the way I felt about being treated in that manner. I had not planned to get arrested. I had plenty to do without having to end up in jail. But when I had to face that decision, I didn't hesitate to do so because I felt that we had endured for too long. The more we gave in, the more we complied with that kind of treatment, the more oppressive it became. So in the midst of her daily routine, Rosa Parks was called to take a stand, or a seat in this case. And as it turned out, that call changed her life and changed the course of American history. The ordinary dailiness of Miss Parks' bus ride is so like the ordinariness of those disciples washing their nets on the shore after a night of fishing. It was routine. It was a normal part of their jobs to wash their nets after using them. Jesus interrupts everything, asking Simon Peter to put the boat out from the shore so that he could speak to the crowd from the water, and then sending Simon back out onto the lake to fish. Now, an itinerant preacher and teacher, Jesus, who grew up as a carpenter's son, was telling a fisherman how to do his business. It was a pretty gutsy move there. And pretty amazing that after a weak protest, Simon gave in and let the nets down once more. You know the story. After a night of nothing, this time the catch is so big that the nets are breaking and the boat sinking. His partners have to bring their boats back out to help him collect all the fish. And Simon is so overcome, so overwhelmed with this miraculous catch that he falls down in front of Jesus saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." It's sort of a funny reaction to a miracle. But as it turns out, it's not that uncommon. Many people in the biblical tradition do the same when confronted with God's power and God's call. Jeremiah thought he was too young. Moses was a terrible speaker and needed his younger brother and sister to back him up. And the prophet Isaiah's response when God appeared to him was similar to Simon Peter's. "Woe is me, I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Basically, all of them felt unworthy of God's attention and unworthy of the call of the Messiah. And so, in response, Jesus says to Peter what is said so often in Scripture, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And at the same time, Jesus does not let Simon off the hook. He scoops him up, telling him, "From now on, you will be catching people, not fish, people." And Simon leaves everything to follow Jesus, to be a disciple. Rosa Parks, Simon Peter, and each one of us, we are called in the midst of our daily lives, in the middle of our ordinary, boring routines, we are called. Kathleen Norris, who is a poet and a spiritual writer, has a book called The Quotidian Mysteries. This is it. It's little. And by quotidian, she means commonplace, ordinary, everyday. And here is what she says about the quotidian mysteries. We are, all of us, Christian women and men, engaged in priestly work, the work of transformation. We are asked to make all that we have been taught and trained to do as nurses, educators, theologians, poets, doctors, secretaries, accountants, or what have you, available to God. We are to make everything available to God. Kathleen Norris tells the story of a nurse bathing a woman who's in a coma, a woman that some might say would be better off dead. The nurse bathes her patient with intention and kindness and love, talking to her all the while, not sure, but hoping that she can hear and understand. And here's a part of the poem that that nurse, Laura Gilpin, wrote. It's called The Bath. I stand here bathing her while she sleeps in a far place beyond my reaching. I bathe her as I have been taught to do, first the eyes, then the forehead, the face, the neck. She offers no resistance except that of gravity, the earth pulling her down while I lift, as though something between us is being weighed. And then I turn her to wash her back, talking to her about what seems to matter in this life, though I make no promises. Only this morning, the promise of spring was in the air, and I tell her that. Few of us will probably see dramatic results for our efforts in the world. We are not Rosa Parks or Simon Peter. And yet, when we make ourselves and all that we are available to God, as Kathleen Norris describes it, it makes a difference in the world. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are engaged in the work of transformation. And the transformation begins with us. That is the call. So, may God find you in the midst of your daily life. May you listen for and hear God's call, and may you follow Jesus into the deep water and find yourself catching people. Amen. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They shall come from east and west, from north and south, to